we're going to talk about this morning the decision-making process. How many of you have been through a class or two talking about the decision-making process since you've been here at Life in Christ Church? How many of you? How many of you that this is new stuff? You've never really been taught this. Mr. Leon, I don't think you've been through this yet, have you? Yeah, but anyway, it'll be interesting for you. It's probably my best-known Bible lesson. It appeals to all kinds of people. It appeals to Christians and non-Christians or borderline Christians or people that really don't want to associate with us, but they still grab a hold of the concept. The only people that put up a fuss about this are religious, brainwashed Christians. They're the only ones that get mad about it because we dispel the terrible doctrine that invaded the body of Christ about the sovereignty of God and that God's controlling us and God's manipulating us and God's doing everything that happens to us. He somehow had a part in it. I can't tell you how many people's come to me and asked me why God did this to them relative to something bad. And that's not how life works. Life's about decisions. Every one of us are where we are today because of decisions we've made. Can I get some kind of an amen on that? So we're going to start this out. Let me put the very first slide up that just says, right there. Now, let's give us a little musical interlude to get this going. Go ahead and start the music and turn it up loud. Of this started when I first started the ministry way back 25 years ago. We've been going and doing this, but the origin of this, the decision-making process, the first part of the pyramid, the Lord gave me this phrase early in the process, and it's really straightforward and easy to understand, again, unless you've been brainwashed by Christian religion, and it's this: the quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. Now, I've used this illustration before, but if I was a guest speaker at some seminar around a bunch of entrepreneurial people, business people, government officials, civil servants, I don't know, you name it. If I was just around a bunch of, what's it called if you're all secular, just around a bunch of secular people, and I put this phrase up, I don't think any clear-thinking person, again, I don't think any clear-thinking person would disagree with that. If you told them that the quality of your life is directly related to the quality of the decisions you make, I don't think anybody would argue with that. I think they'd say, yeah, that's right, that's correct. But do you know we've run into more persecution about this truth than probably just about anything? Because what triggered this for me and the reason why I became and sought the Lord about it is I got over among Christian people, and again, I found out that they believed and they thought that somehow or another everything that was going on in their life was orchestrated and manipulated by God. But the only thing that's going on in your life that's orchestrated and manipulated by God, now listen, are you listening to me? And again, I'm famous on the radio and on the internet. I'm telling you, the only thing that God's orchestrating in your life is what you let Him orchestrate. Can I get a nod back there, Frankie? Frankie Five Angels, what God's controlling in your life is what you're letting Him control. And you want the hard truth? We're not letting Him control much. And this is emptied out of church building. Now, people can say, oh, you're just saying that. I'm not just saying that. I'm telling you, Christians have been brainwashed into thinking that somehow or another it's all some cosmic plan that God has. And there's no cosmic plan. If you go back and read the very beginning of the Bible and the very beginning of creation, you'll find out that God made us personally responsible for our own garden. Da, da, da. Not yet. And so every now and then you just have to bring this up and you have to teach this, because all faith really is, faith and grace that I've been talking about since the beginning of the year, all these things are decisions. That's all they are. Unbelief is a decision. See, you choose not to believe God, or you choose to believe God. Be it done to you, I believe Jesus said it many, many times, be it done to you according to your faith. The Roman centurion knew how it worked. He knew how it worked. And Jesus said, be it done to you. As you have believed, be it done to you. In other words, who made the decision? Who decided? When Jesus walked into Nazareth, his hometown, and he couldn't do any mighty work there, who made the decision that he couldn't do any mighty work there? Who made that decision? The people in Nazareth. Why couldn't he do any mighty work there? Because they decided they didn't want him to. You got to get loud and boisterous about it, because it's absurd. It's absurd how we have been brainwashed by Satan. And that's why the church has no power. Now, there may be some churches in town that's got a lot of people in it, but they're being told a bunch of malarkey. And they're walking out of there the same way they walked in. And Christianity ought to be life-changing, because it's a decision you make relative to God that will change everything in your life that's bad, if you want it to. But if you don't want it to, it won't. Let me give you one verse. Let's put one verse up. It may be the only verse I get up today, because I'm going to build the pyramid. It may be the only verse I put up. It's Deuteronomy 30:19. That's not going to mess you up, is it, George? Deuteronomy 30:19. Let's put this up. It'll probably be the verse we put on the internet. And by the way, I have the bookmarks, the decision-making process, and I'm letting you know we ordered 250 more of these with the correct radio program call station. These that I'm passing out have the old 1420 AM call station. Those of y'all that are listening, that have listened by the radio and internet, you know that it's 92.3 FM. So I've got more of these coming, but if you need these, I'd like to give these old ones out and let you know you have them. And keep these around. Leslie said something to me at the Bible study that blessed me. I think you keep one at work, don't you? Isn't that cool? Praise the Lord. You know, Leslie and Brian are examples of people that have sit in here and not allowed themselves to get mad at me. You know, they've had plenty of opportunities. But you know what? They've sit in here and they've swallowed their pride. And you know they're successful people. Do you know that they're glorifying God in their lives? And I'm not building them up. All of you in here on some level have done this, because you stayed in here and recognized what it is. It's the truth, and it's the hard truth. And you know what I've tried to do in the process of doing this? I've tried to make myself be as vulnerable as I can with y'all and let you know that there's, whenever I fail, it's not because it's because God failed me, it's because I failed him. But his mercy endures forever. You won't hear me make that God-forsaken, devil-birth lie that God somehow wanted me to be this way. No, he don't. Can you say amen or oh me? I call heaven and earth, Deuteronomy 30:19. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you. Against who? Against you. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I I, the Almighty God of heaven, that I have set before you. Now, this is Old Testament, but it works in the New Testament as well, because Jesus walked into Nazareth and couldn't do anything because they wouldn't let him. Are you listening to me? I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life. Everybody say that. Therefore, choose life. What happens if you choose life? That both you and your descendants may live. Amen. Y'all drive all the way over to Bisbee to hear this, man. Praise God. And don't run away from it. You don't run away from it. Unbelievable. It's unbelievable how bad, how uninformed and ignorant the mainstream Christian church is relative to this simple reality that we are a product of the decisions that we've made. And it's not mystical and it's not mysterious, and God's not working in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform, and everything's not happening for a reason. Well, let me fix that. Everything is happening for a reason. Oh, my Lord, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. The reason everything's happening is because of the decisions we've made. Glory be to God. I know the church don't like me, and get over it. I don't care you don't like me. I'm not ministering to you anyway. I'm ministering to the community of Sierra Vista and all over the world on the internet, and there's people out there that will hear this that aren't religiously brainwashed, and they'll act on some of this stuff. And my life didn't turn around for the better until I learned this truth, till I quit being a victim, till I started deciding I'm going to make decisions that glorify God. I'm going to make decisions that do things for the good of me and not for the bad of me. And lo and behold, my life got better. So, back to the diagram. Can y'all, I'm going to do the Zoom service from Gilbert, Arizona, and I'm still going to holler at you. So this verse came to me, and you know, the Lord gave this to me because, you know, I knew how badly informed people were. I knew I couldn't get people to live by faith, because faith is a decision, and I knew that people had made the decision to live in unbelief. See, when you believe God's not doing stuff or God's doing it because he's trying to teach you something, you're in unbelief. You're not operating your faith. You're not going to change your results or change your destiny. You're just going to receive what you believe, because that's how life works. And so I got this phrase, the quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions that we make. And I went that way for many, I think several years, a couple years. One morning I got up out of bed. This is as true a story as I can tell it. It's absolutely true. I'm not making a word of it up. And I didn't know more than get up. I got up. I was going to get up out of the bed and do whatever you do when you get up and get out of the bed. Some people do different things. And I got up to the top of, you know, just sitting up in the bed. And as Almighty God is my witness, he gave me the decision-making process. He gave me everything that fills in to how you make a decision. I remember I mentioned to Teresa, I said, the Lord's just dropped into my heart the decision-making process. I remember she said, that's wonderful, what's for breakfast? I want my eggs scrambled and I'd like some bacon. You know, one of the things you're going to have to learn about life is nobody's going to get as excited about stuff as you are. It's hard on your system. See what I'm teaching today? This thing ought to be packed out with people. What I'm teaching today, it ought to be. But you know, the Lord's took care of me and blessed me. I'm financially secure. I got a wonderful family. I love my wife. I tolerate my kids. I mean, you can't ask for much else, can you? The team I'm rooting for the first time in 34 years is in the Super Bowl. The college basketball team that I love, the University of Kentucky, just demoralized the University of Florida. Sorry, Leslie. The Phoenix Suns have the best team in the National Basketball Association because they have, I love what they've called Chris Paul. I do this for free. See, I'm not just preaching to you. Somebody said, I don't care nothing about it. Well, shut up and listen anyway. There's other people that do. You know what they call, and I don't know, it's kind of sacrilegious. You know what they call Chris Paul? The point God. That dude is good. He is a distributor of the basketball. So you know what? I need to look on the bright side. I need to look on the bright side because it is disheartening to know that this information is being rejected by people that it would tremendously help. It would tremendously help you. So I said, Therese, the Lord's dropped this on my heart, the rest of this. And I got up exactly at that moment and went into the whichever house we had at the time. This has been a long time ago. I think it might have been Briarwood. I don't know. One of them. And I went down and I went and wrote out the rest of it. So here's the rest of it. Here's how you arrive at a decision. This is how you arrive at a decision. So the next step in the pyramid to the decision-making process is the quality of the decision. The quality of the decision that we make is, say these two words for me. I have a hard time. They get marbled in my mouth for some reason. The quality of our decisions is to the quality of our belief system. You're deciding what you're going to do based on what you believe. How many of you, in this, I mean, by the way, it's like, duh. Again, if I was in an IBM seminar, a bunch of IBM executives, they'd be going, duh. And you know what the church is doing? Cult, false teaching, liar. I'm like I am because this is the way God wanted me to be. This is what my grandmother told me. Well, your grandmother didn't know anything. God bless me, Ma. You know why? How many of you is going to go to work tomorrow? By the way, you know what? I wish I was president, but I'm not. If I was, I would declare Monday after the Super Bowl a national holiday. And because of that, I'm going to golf in the morning and do tax returns in the afternoon tomorrow. I heard it's going to be 75 degrees and tax season's going to really start after about tomorrow. And I'm going to play golf because the Bengals are going to win the Super Bowl. But how many of you are going to work tomorrow? And the reason you're going to work tomorrow, Teresa, you're going. Jordan, you're going. You are going. He's working, man. I got him working, going to school. You know why you're going? You know why you're going? Because you believe if you don't, Bryant, you might not pay your mortgage. Am I correct in that assumption? Am I correct in that assumption? So every decision you make is based on what you believe. And the reason why, man. And I know I can do better. And I'm having I'm a little disappointed because we have fun days like this and then you get hardly minimal participation. And it's like, man, is it worth it? I'm serious, but I mean, I'm struggling with that. But every decision we make is based on what we believe. And that's the reason why I've spent 25 years trying to get people to believe correctly. Because if you believe correctly, you'll make the right decision. See, you'll make the right decision relative to God. You'll find out God didn't want me sick. He didn't want me broke. He didn't want me angry. He didn't want me depressed. But there's reasons why I'm broke, angry, sick, and depressed, and it's not Him. Everything we decide to do is based on our belief system. You know why people don't come up for prayer to be healed? Because they don't believe God wants to heal them. You know why people stay broke? Because they don't believe God wants them to be prosperous. Are you listening to me? So, the third part of the diagram, how do I get a belief system? Oh, by osmosis, you know. I just sit in a room, you know, and all of a sudden I get a belief system. No. Our belief system, the quality of our belief system, say these two words for me, the quality of, and say it loud where it sounds like there's a whole multitude of us in here. The quality of our belief system is to the quality of the information we receive. You see, somewhere down the line, somebody told Mr. Booker that if he wanted to have a house, a nice house, by the way, that he ought to go to work and pay a mortgage and eventually get it paid for, okay? So he got good information, right? And he acted on that information, he believed that information, and he made a decision based on that information. By the way, in case you don't know it, this is how politicians have controlled you for your entire lives. They've given you the wrong information, you've acted on it, and they've controlled you with it. See? See, if you're on welfare, oh man, I'm going to make everybody really happy this morning. You know what? If you're on welfare, it's because somebody talked you into making a wrong decision. Especially right now, folks, because there's help wanted signs everywhere. Not only are there help wanted signs, we've got a shortage of about everything. I had almost a breakdown yesterday. I went to Fry's and they were out of two things that are most valuable to me. Jimmy Dean pork link sausage. And 100% natural orange juice. And it was really funny. Me and this other dude, we were both at the orange juice aisle. It was real funny. And he's a younger guy than me, but he's looking at me, and he said, man, he said, there's no OJ. I said, no, there's not. I said, I'll tell you something else. I said, they don't have any pork link sausage. I feel like that Geico commercial. Hey, tell that guy in produce he's doing a really good job. I'm going to play some music for the kids here in a minute. No, we're both looking at it. And it was so funny, I didn't even tell you this. Because what do we drink at? We drink at, what's that? You like that special orange juice. No, that's too cheap. She likes it. Oh, what's it called? Sun, you know, it's real 100% orange juice. But it's a famous name. Golly. Yeah, Simply Orange, 100% orange juice, Simply Orange. I mean, not a shred of it anywhere. But down at the bottom, they had some Tropicana 100%. And he said, look at there. He said, down there, there's 100%. I said, how much do you like orange juice? I said, I can do it with that. I said, reach down there and grab it. Because if she doesn't have orange juice with her vitamins in the morning, life's just not going to go right. See, that's a decision we've made. Y'all happy? Y'all listening to me? Now listen. The quality of our belief system is, by the way, this was all dropped on me in an instant by God. For you. For everybody. I'm telling you, when I'm gone, this will be here, and this will be known. And I want everybody to know that Mark Browning didn't come up with this. God gave it to me. Amen. I would like the royalties and the copyrights that come with it. So I'd like my heirs to get that. The quality of our belief system is directly related to the quality of the information we receive. We get information. The information forms our belief system, and our belief systems cause us to make decisions. Now watch this. So if I've got good information, I have a good belief system, and I make good decisions. If I have bad information, I have a bad belief system, and I make bad decisions. If somebody's giving me information, I'm ahead of myself, but I'm gonna make this point. If somebody tells me that God wants me sick, and don't tell me the church don't tell you that. Huh? Don't tell me. I'm just using these for illustrations. If I'm not making this up. I've ministered to people on their deathbeds at the end of their lives. I can't tell you how many people, the words out of their mouth, and these are people that have come to this church. You know what the first thing some of them have said to me? I don't know why God did this to me. Even after sitting in these chairs and listening to me talk, that was the first thing out of their mouth, because some of them had gotten so bad and so sick that they were just, you know, like, this is terrible. And everybody thinks God's God, so God must somehow or another be involved in it, and they don't understand how the law of Genesis worked. They don't understand that man was the one that was put in charge of what God made. And the only way God can get into your life is if you let him. That's the only way God can get in your life. Jesus was ministering in Luke's gospel, doing what he always does when he ministers, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out devils, and preaching the good news. And somebody in the crowd, listen, somebody in the crowd said to him, Lord, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me. You know what Jesus told him? Man, who made me your boss? In other words, all the way back in the garden, I put Adam in the garden, gave him everything he'd need, provided everything he'd ever want, and said, now go tend and keep it. It's the way it works. It's the way life works. That's the way life works. So if somebody told you God wanted you sick, you got bad information, you based your belief system on it, and you made your decision, well, this is just my lot in life. Somebody comes along and says, hey, God doesn't want you sick. You get a good, better belief system, and you make a better decision. Now, nobody's telling you it's going to be easy along the decision trail. Well, we need a good Western song, you know. Da-da-da-da-da. Nobody's going to tell you it's going to be easy up the decision trail, but listen, you can get to the top. Ooh, man, how many of you would be excited about getting to the top? You can ride up to the top as long as you keep the decision-making process with good information. You'll get derailed if somewhere down the road somebody tries to pollute you with bad information. Probably the worst thing most people can do is go to church. Oh, man. Did you hear me? I want to repeat myself. Probably the worst place you can go is to go to church, because they're going to put doubt and unbelief into you. They're going to tell you that all these things passed away with the apostles. They're going to tell you that God's doing these things to you to teach you, so somehow you can further your own salvation as though you had anything to do with being saved. They're going to tell you that it's all mysterious and we just don't know why, and just trust that God knows what he's doing. That's bad information. That's garbage. And garbage in will cause garbage out. I believe that's a computer term, isn't it? All right. So information creates my belief system, creates my decisions. Put the bottom line down and let's play 2001 Space Odyssey one more time. Will that be heard on the radio? Good. Make it loud. Let's all do it together. Come on, Ezra. Here it is. Here's the bottom of the pyramid. Here's the bottom of it. The quality of the information we receive is... Trace, they didn't catch on. Let's do it again. The quality of the information we receive is to the quality of the people we associate with. Lions and tigers and bears Let's do it one more time. Kids, lions and tigers and bears.
Oh my.
Son, you're going to live your entire life. And you're going to be like 40-some years old. And somebody's going to, you're going to be sitting in some church. And you're going to be thinking, that dude don't know what he's talking about. Because if he tells you bad information, you're going to say, no, I heard a sermon one time by a guy that said that the quality of the information I receive is directly related to the quality of the people I associate with. The bottom part of this is the hardest part of this. Come on now. The bottom part of this is the hardest part of this. Carol, we're not leaving you out of the sermon, are we? I'll come over and preach right to you. Amen. I thought that'd get you jumping a little bit. This is the hardest part of it. Because what this does, I've really made an effort to try to be more gentle about it. You can really tell by the sermon this morning, can't you, Mr. Leon? But why this is the hardest part is because, let's face it, can we face reality? Who are the people that we associate with the most? Brian, would you say it? Would you stand up and say it? Mr. Booker, who are the people that we associate with the most? I believe Mr. Booker back there said family. He has a Georgia Bulldog t-shirt on this morning. The national champions of the world of college football. Actually, if you're in the SEC, you're all right. The problem with the bottom part of this is that what we tend to learn it from family. And if our family doesn't have the right information, they can't pass it on to us. And so the reason why, see, people, listen to me, I swear to you, this is so necessary, and you need to put the word out. See, people think that there's a thing called a generational curse. That's not true. Do you know that all was taken care of in the atonement? See, people think people are under a generational curse. You know what they're really under? Generational bad information. Oh, don't shout me down now. Yeah. See, people are under generational bad information. And it was only because of the grace of God that I got my hands on better information. And it was only because some things transpired in my family that caused us to seek more information. And God in His goodness got us better information. Because most people have no shot. See, the reason why there's murders and crimes and our country's deteriorated is because there's no information being imparted to people that'll help them. So they're acting on bad information. So they have no shot. And that's the reason why what I have determined in my heart and what I made a decision to do, and God's blessed me. God's rewarded me. I know there's, you know, it's hard sometimes to realize, you know, how much you've had to fight it. But I've made up my mind, I'm going to give people information till the day I die. And that's the reason why we figured out, and Bryant was a big part of this, James was a big part of this, we figured out that, look, if they're not going to come to us, we'll come to them. And I'll tell you, the people that end up getting mad at you the most are the people that are closest to family members that gave them the wrong information, but their allegiance was more to the family members than it was to the truth. Now, you want some hard truth? You want some real hard truth? You see, everybody talks about Jesus like he's got two sheep on his shoulder, you know, and he's walking down the avenue, you know, being real sweet and kind and gentle. You know what he said to people? If you love your mother and father and sister and brother more than me, you're not worthy of me. And that's hard for people because most people are wrapped up completely and totally in their family. That's who they're wrapped up in. And I'll tell you something right now. I'll tell you sincerely, And I'll tell you, I'm telling you, my life's not a bad life to examine about 75% of it. So, I mean, there's about 25% I could do better on. Most of it's out there at that nasty, stinking golf course, and it's got something to do with the people I associate with. But you know what they'd tell you? They'd tell you that I'm contaminating them. They might be right. But I want to tell you something. I'm telling you, you can look at my life. I'm telling you, if I hadn't have got out from under the environment I was in, I would have ended up nothing. And I need to make sure you understand it. I would have ended up not doing what I've done. I mean, I've ministered to some people. And I've showed people that this stuff will work. I've showed people that it works in your life. I'm telling you, I'm a hick redneck from Kentucky. I was a born loser. I was destined to fail. Because I was told by my mom and dad that I was destined to fail. Because we were victims. Because life was going to pass us by. Because it worked for everybody else, but it don't work for us. And I got my hands on the Holy Bible. And I found out what Jesus Christ had done for me. And then I found out that the only way God can bless you is to give Him something to bless. And I started giving Him some things to bless. And lo and behold, He started blessing it. Now, I made mistakes along the line. Bunches of them. But I even overcame them, or He even overcame them, because I stayed with the truth. And I didn't retreat back to lies. And I will not consider myself a victim. And I will not consider myself at the bottom. I will consider myself to be a child of the living God, a joint heir with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to hear something else. I don't mean this like the Word of Faith Prosperity Gospel preachers teach it. Like you're just going to succeed in life and be successful and everything's going to work properly and fine and dandy. No, in the world you'll have tribulation. In the world there'll be COVID-19. In the world there'll be crooked politicians. In the world there'll be Russia and Ukraine doing some kind of nonsense that we got no business worrying about. And part of the mistake we made is we got too entangled in the world system, and that's the truth. But I'm talking about being in the world, not of the world, and overcoming the world. And there's a big difference. And I do not identify myself with that prosperity junk. I don't identify myself with that. I don't want no part of that. I don't want people to think this is about self-indulgence. And I want you to hear something else. What I have and what we've acquired requires effort and responsibility and heartburn. Amen. If you don't get up out of bed every day and want to work it, you're not going to get it. And it's not just because I'm spectacular. I'm dumber than a stump. I've fooled people for 30 years. Don't shout me down now just because I'm preaching real good. But I've gotten in the flow of the right information. And the problem that most people have is they never get acclimated to the right information. And the problem we've run into is we've imparted better information to them, and then the devil came, because the devil comes immediately to steal the word, to steal information, and then they had to decide, wait a minute now, am I going to believe that fella that I just met, or am I going to believe that person that raised me and nurtured me and not sucked on her, you know, and got nurtured by her, whatever. I'm going to believe her. Well, not if she's telling you the wrong information. See, not if anybody's telling you, just use this out. I mean, see, so many people are lost because they believe that the way they go to heaven is by the good things they do. And heaven will never open the doors up for you because of what good you did. Heaven's doors will only open because of the good thing Jesus did. You can go right on through the door as long as you go through the door because you go through there because you've received Jesus. But if you think you're going through there because your good outweighs your bad, you got bad information. And you need to fall on your face and repent, because Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Where did I get that information? From the Holy Bible. I took that information that formed my belief system and that formed my decision. And somebody said, do you want to receive the Lord as your Savior? And I said, yes, please. I said, yes, please. I sure do. Now, when I first did it, I didn't understand the magnitude of it, but I understand it more every second of every day because I understand how worthless and rotten I am without Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? And that's, see, that's the other thing. I don't want to be around anybody that puffs their chest up and talks about how great they are. No, it's not how great you are. It's how great thou art, not how great I art. How great I art. I live by faith. You make me want to vomit. Shut your mouth. Better than children's church, isn't it? Y'all see that? I'm just laying the groundwork today. And again, I know that I've tried so hard. I don't know what I've done. I put the information out there, and I know the information. I know. See, some people, I guess one of the things that's happened to me that's probably a negative is I've seen people come in here that were new to the church and new to this information, and my great concern was it won't stick. And I know I shouldn't look at it that way, but I'm thinking, you know, I've had people come in here, and I want to tell them, now look, you're going to go out there, and somebody's going to try to give you the wrong information, and you're going to have to make a decision. And that's the reason why what I've tried to get everybody to do is get that information on the inside of themselves. So you can't beat it out of me. You'll never get me to tell anybody God made them sick. Never. You'll never. You'll never get me to tell anybody that God doesn't want you saved. Never. Mm-mm. You'll never get me to tell you that God's doing bad things to people. Never. Uh-uh. Tell you what you will get me to tell you. The devil's a liar. He's the prince of the power of the air. He's the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. But God has conquered him in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? You know what we're going to do next week? This week we started from the top down. Next week we're going to start from the bottom up. Okay? So let's review. If you're listening by radio or internet, we have these decision-making cards in bookmark form. I've got new ones coming that also advertise our radio program on 92.3. If you'd like one of these, contact us, and we'll get you a bookmark. You can put it in your Bible, put it around your nightstand. But let's discuss the decision-making process, and let's understand that you could teach this every single Sunday from some different angle. Everybody agree with that? You understand you could teach this every Sunday from a different angle? So, let's say it out loud. Let's start and do it slow so everybody can hear it. The quality of our lives is directly related to the quality of the decisions we make. Everybody cool? Right? Now, how do I make a decision? What made me make a decision? Let's do this. The quality of our decisions to the quality of our belief system. How do I get a belief system? The quality of our belief system is directly related to the quality of the information we receive. And how do I get information? Information we receive is directly related to the quality of the people we associate with. Again, what's going to be, that's the reason why we're going to start from the bottom and work our way up, because that's the reason why what we, like just in 2022 and here lately, that's the reason why we gave you that book. You've already got it, because that is good information, and it came from a quality person. Y'all see that? You know, one of the things the Bible says about ministers, about people that are giving you information, is you are to consider the outcome of their lives and follow their faith. You listening to me? So when I give that book out to you, and I give you that kind of information because the information's coming from a person that we can trust the quality of the information. Now, let me say this. We're not, and I want to, because I kind of got a little bit, you know, like I am. We don't want you to dislike people that nurtured and cared for you and loved you. We don't want you to dislike them. We don't want you to be mean to them. But what you have to start doing, listen to me very carefully. This is where I want to close this up. What you have to start doing, because I learned the hard way, and I've tried to help you not make the same mistakes I made. I mean, I went for several years. I was despised by family members. I'm still not greatly liked. Amen. I'm still not greatly liked, but I was despised by family members. So what we're saying about this situation is, or what we're letting you know is, we're not asking you to be mean or non-Christian towards folk, but when people give you information, and first of all, you gotta get acclimated to the information in the book, but when people try to give you information that's contrary to information in the New Covenant, then you have to put on your big boy britches. Got that from Bryant. You got to put on your big boy britches. When they try to give you information that's contrary to the information that's in the Bible, then you have to put on your big boy britches and make a decision. It's the decision-making process. And make a decision that you're going to believe the report of the Lord. Isaiah 53:1 says, who has believed our report? See, that's what it's going to come down to. And that's going to be a thing that's going to require you to. And listen, let me say this to you. That's also where true biblical praying comes into play. True biblical praying. Because you're not praying to get God to do anything, but you're praying to stay in communion and fellowship with Him so that you can stay strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Oh, don't shout me down now. See, you can't just let this, you can't just think, well, you know, I'll just skate through. No, you won't skate through. Because, see, the devil wants to steal the word out of you because you're a container of the truth. You're a container of stuff that sets people free. I'm going to close with this verse. And it's familiar. Oh, it's familiar. And it's so familiar that we miss the meaning of it. It's so familiar. John 8:31-32. John 8:31-32. Y'all go ahead and stand on your feet and we'll get this. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, if you abide in My word, if you abide in My word. Now let me ask you that. Let me ask you this. Is that good information? Yes. Is that the truth? Yes. Is that quality? Yes. Did it come from a quality person? Yes. Is there anybody more quality than Jesus? Yes. Is Jesus more quality than your mama? Yes. Than your daddy? Yes. Than your grandmother? Yes. Than your uncle? Then your boss. In some people's case, your children. See, some people actually put more credence in what their kids say than anything else. Not me and Teresa, but some people. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, if you abide in My word, you are My disciples indeed. Verse 32. Here it is. You know what? Go back to verse 31. What He's saying here is, if you get the right information, that's what He's saying. If you get the right information, is the word the right information? Yes, sir. If you get the right information, verse 32, then you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See, this is what really and truly has made me so popular and why I get invited to all the full gospel events. If you're not free, It's because you don't know the truth. Because the truth makes you free. And you can play religious excuses and you can act like Adam and you can blame the woman and the snake. Or you can decide to put on your big boy britches and get in there and search the Bible until you know what's right. And when you know what's right, make a decision to do it. And I guarantee you, you won't have any, you won't regret it. I'm not going to tell you it's going to be easy. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to deal with persecution. I'm not going to tell you you're not going to deal with tribulation. I'm not going to tell you that the devil will tell you what's the use. Nobody's listening. I'm not going to tell you that. But I'm telling you, it'll make you free. So if you're listening by radio or internet, here's the greatest decision you can ever make. And that's the decision to receive Jesus as Lord and Savior. Because you may have, today, this may have been the very first day you've ever gotten the right information relative to the good news of Jesus Christ. And that is that God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to be the sacrifice for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. And you can't go to heaven based on your good conduct. You only get to go to heaven based on your commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. So make this, say this prayer because you've made the decision to act on the right information. Say it with me. Say, Dear God,
I believe
the Holy Spirit has shown in my heart
that Jesus
is Lord. And I want to receive Him.
And I want to acknowledge Him
into my life.
I make
a quality decision
to profess
faith
in Jesus.
And I know
that because I've made this choice,
I am now
a partaker
of eternal life.
In Jesus' name.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Now this program is going to air on the radio the week after the Super Bowl. But I want to tell you, you just did something now that's better than any Super Bowl. You just got super, super filled with God. And now you've passed from death to life. Listen, we want you to read the Bible. We want you to hear messages like this on a regular basis. So get on our website at www.lifeinchristchurch.net. Click on sermons and hear these things over and over and over. And then get your Bible out and follow the Scriptures. Because it's the truth of the Scriptures that will set you free. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll see you back here Sunday morning with Zoom.